Welcome back to the Inside Trail. Today I'm joined by Orla Comerford, Irish Paralympian. Orla ran in Rio, so it'll be great to have Orla for a sit down and chat about the various different aspects of her running life. As part of the pre spew, as I was talking about last week, the grocery job. If anyone is looking for a job where you're essentially, you know, you're your own boss, you pick your own hours, and all you're really doing is people's groceries and dropping them over to their house. If you're a student, it's really good money. And the fact that you get to pick your own hours also means that, you know, you can play sports, you can have your own stuff going on the side. But yeah, so if anyone is interested in that job, you can contact me for further information at theinsidetrail@gmail.com. And just even if you're not looking for a job, if you have a chat, you have a topic, you have someone who wants to chat, send me an email. We can chat, we can spew. Because as you've probably noticed, I like to talk a lot of shite, so we will continue to do that into the future. But until then, here's Orla. Ba-dum-bum-bum. That's my crack sound. Fuck. Okay, so brief explanation. We're about 4 minutes into a bit of a spew, and the microphone was on mute. So
at least you weren't 20 minutes in.
At least, oh, I might have been 20 minutes in. But anyway, so the inaugural crack, like it was such a huge day for Orla to come on.
I think it was the best one yet.
I to be honest, but, really and there's no proof of it. Do you know what I mean? It's. But yeah, welcome to the Inside Trail. Yeah.
Thanks.
Orla, it is great to have you here. You are a runner, an artist, a potential educator, and a bean.
And that's a bean. Importantly.
But yeah, so you are studying
fine arts media education. Yeah, in
NCAD. And you're also a runner.
Yeah.
You run really, really fast. Well.
For very short amounts of
time. I try. The reason that you have found yourself, you know, in the spotlight is you're running, but it's also with your eyes.
Yeah.
So do you want to walk people through what your eyes are?
So I have a condition called Stargardt's. So it basically means my central vision is quite poor. So I would have really good peripheral, but like, so in the middle things would be blurry, like, colour detail isn't great, so basically stuff in the middle isn't very clear. So I suppose most people don't know that I'm visually impaired because I don't really look like it, you know, like don't have a dog, don't have a cane. Like I get around grand, you know.
Yeah.
But I suppose that was diagnosed when I was 11. It's a genetic condition, so it's something like I've always had, but it didn't, you know, like manifest. Yeah.
Until
I was 11. So I just went back to school, couldn't read the board anymore. The kind of spiel of do I need glasses, do I not, and then finding out I had Stargardt's. So it's kind of unusual because like no one else in my family has it.
Yeah.
With it being genetic, like you usually find it in groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like when I was 11, I had what they call like quite a drop off. So I lost a lot of vision in a short amount of time, and so since then my eyesight's just gotten worse gradually, as opposed to like I've had, thankfully, hadn't had any big drop-offs, but my eyesight would be a lot worse now than it was, obviously, back then. So I suppose that's how I find myself in Paralympic sport.
Absolutely. So your category is T13.
Yeah.
And that is the least visually impaired.
Impaired, yeah. So there's three different classes. There's T13, T12, and T11. So T11 like, is totally blind completely. Like they'd have a guide runner. T12, you can opt for a guide runner or not, depending on kind of your level. And T13 would be, like most of us don't look like we're visually impaired.
So how does that work with a guided runner then?
Oh, it's mad. I wouldn't be able for it.
Like, does your guided runner have to be as fast as...
Yeah, so people who have guided runners, like they'd have to train with them all the time. Because like, you have to take the same steps at the same time. Like, it's mind-blowing. I think that's one of the coolest parts about like Paralympic sport is just seeing all that unreal shit, like you know, like obviously I don't do that or anything, and hopefully it's not on my cards because I don't think I'd be able for that.
Yeah.
But like it's mad, like they're, you know, like two peas in a pod, quite literally.
Fair. So then you were telling me earlier that you do 100 meter and 200 meter.
Yeah.
So, what's the difference then for you? Like, will you train for one or train for both at the same time? Or?
Yeah, I think definitely the training for both of them bodes well for them both. Like, you know, if you're training for 200s, you're kind of doing a little bit longer. You're doing a bit more work in the winter, I suppose. And that kind of speed endurance is better. So if my thought of it is that if your 200s are up to scratch, your 100s can only benefit from it.
Yeah.
So I suppose the aim is to always be doing as much as you can there, and training for both. But obviously, like I was saying to you earlier, the 200s can be a little bit harder to be successful in if you don't have a few years of good work strung together. So there's that.
Yeah. So, and so then, like, what kind of times would you be trying to hit then for your hunt? Like, so what is your personal record?
My personal best in the 100 is 12.5 seconds.
Okay.
I would love, and I'm not saying today or tomorrow, to go sub 12. certainly not today or tomorrow.
Not on crutches, you won't.
No,
be,
I won't be. But yeah, my hope would definitely be to go that magic sub 12.
Yeah.
And I suppose with the 200 as well, I'm at 25.7, I think, for my 200 time. But again, with that, like, I'd love to go sub 25 or low 25 anyway, as a kind of, I suppose, at the start point in terms of looking at where I'd want to go. But like, that's the kind of thing, like, in 3 or 4 years I might make, you know. It's, you have to string them together, and you can't expect for those times to come overnight. They're, you know, it sounds really stupid, and they're no amount of time in terms of everyone else's lives, but like, when you're coming to sprinting, like, that's huge. It's a lot. It's a big difference. So I think the potential is definitely there. I've unfortunately had a lot of unfortunate circumstances and injuries in
the last
few
years. Yeah, you're on your third ankle? Same ankle.
Fifth year of it now. So I've just had loads of problems off and on with it. I've had scopes in it. I've had injections and stuff. And so just there last month, I got a scope into it and a surgery. So hopefully this is the beginning of the end of all those problems. But
so right now your training regime is fix the ankle and get back running.
Yeah. So I suppose in another fun twist, I broke my other foot in October, November. And so I stress fractured it due to basically the overloading because of the other ankle problem. So I have not run since October. I think loads of people assume I don't train when I'm not running. They're like, oh, so you get a nice break then.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. It's hell on earth when you're not running. Because it means you're in the gym every day of the week doing a bike session or like doing your weights or whatever. But you no longer have the part of sport that you enjoy.
Yeah.
It's like all the pain and none of the love anymore or
Fair.
Something, you know.
Fair.
So it's been a long time without it. I definitely miss it a lot. But I'm really excited. I think getting back now this time, it's going to be hopefully the last time I have to do a good, you know, stint on the bike or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So then, obviously, you were 11 then when you found out you had surrogate. So were you running at, like, that young and then you kind of decided to then run in a special category?
So I was always really into sport. I was really active. I joined my athletics club, Rohini Shamrocks, in, like, when I was 6 or 7, you know. I suppose the only reason I was any good at any other sport was because I was quick.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was not actually great at any other sport.
That's the same as me. I'm real fast. Like.
Yeah, yeah, speedy. but I, so I joined athletics at that stage, but I was still, like, you know, loads of other sports in schools. And I think for me, the decision to make athletics my sole sport was in fourth year. I sounds quite late, but it was, you know, I was still hanging on to basketball, doing it in school. I really enjoyed it. I suppose there's a social scene there in a team sport that you don't have in an individual sport, but my competitive nature makes me a better individual sports person.
Yeah.
I didn't do well on teams. I'd be the type to get angry when I messed up or someone else messed up. So I think in terms of my eyesight, like, obviously there was things that just had to be ruled out, like tennis I hadn't hope at, like, you know, there was just things that weren't going to be possible. But instead of someone coming and being like, you can't do that, I just, you know, my parents, like, were like, figure it out yourself. You know, if you want to make it work, make it work. And I suppose a lot of other people would have said, like, running or basketball or whatever, like, I think there are some people who think, like, you kind of push them all off and, you know, think that sport wasn't an option. But, like, I think when you have a sport that you're so passionate about, you're willing to make those changes and face those challenges. So I think, you know, kind of third, fourth year, I started to be like, athletics is what I want to really take seriously. I, like, broke my ribs playing basketball in second year.
Oh yeah.
And I was just
tell me about this. I'll hear all about this.
Some tank floored me. So I broke like 3 ribs, and
I shouldn't be laughing.
I know, it is. It's gas. But I suppose when I broke them, I couldn't care less that I couldn't play basketball anymore. And I was really, really pissed off that my athletic season was going to suffer. Mm. That sounds really aggro from second year me. But I think that's when it really clicked for me. And so I kind of kept with the basketball a little just for the social scene. And then I just chucked it out the window. Yeah. You know, I was like, look, realistically, where my potential is in athletics, and like where my interest is there. You know, it's always been the thing I've been best at, and I've always had the most enjoyment out of. And so why not give it everything, you know? I suppose fourth year gives you that time to kind of push it. And that's when I think I kind of stepped it up another level. Mm. And then sixth year, unknowns to a lot of people, I was getting involved with Paralympic sport. So it was kind of like I was in talks with them, and, you know, like I was testing to see if I was, you know, a candidate that, you know, something that would be possible. And so during, you know, the mess of the leaving, and I had portfolio as well for NCAD, I was training, and I'd like headed off to Italy to get my classification. And then I was trying to make standards for Rio.
Yeah.
Which was a fun year.
So
was a lot going
what
on.
Time of year was Rio again?
It was August. Was that August?
And we were in Crete in
June, July, something.
Yeah. So just for everyone, right, we'd be down in Crete, and obviously you're on your 6 year holiday, late nights, all that kind of crap. Orly used to go running every morning. Like, I'd be rolling out of bed at like 2 in the afternoon, eat 2 large pizzas, 40 fags. Yeah. And Orla's literally after running like up the hills. And
it's a nice spot to run it, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was.
But, like,
it was lovely.
Just your dedication. I was like, I'd be lying in bed and I'm getting up and like, right, there's my sit up done for the day.
Like, for me, team announcements were like 2 weeks before we went to Crete. So like I found out I made the team, and I was like, holy shit, like, and like to be talk about, like, I was thrown in the fucking deep end. I was like, I've never been in a situation where I'm like running for Ireland at the biggest
and you were
event.
What 18?
Yeah, I was 18, and so I was like, fuck. And I was really like, I didn't think I was gonna go on holidays.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, oh no, I'm not gonna go. And I remember our team manager was like, oh, you're heading off for a week, are you? And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'll go. And he was like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He was like, you know, you're still X number of months out. Like, if you go to the sun and enjoy yourself, don't go too wild, obviously. And, like, still put the work in. There's no harm. You know, like, obviously if it was, like, the month before or, like, you know, a week before, I'd be, like, obviously not doing it. But so I did decide to go. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah,
it's good crack. I just didn't go too crazy and then enjoyed my nice sunny runs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? So, you're trying to get this ankle back going now.
Yeah.
So what is your next step? So you did championships?
Yeah, so last year it was European Championships.
European Championships.
And they were my most successful championships to date. Obviously, but I suppose I was still battling with, like, you know, I had obviously been working with rehabbing the ankle for years and lots of stuff, and just coming up to those major championships, it flared up big time again.
Mm.
And it's just a real, like, it was a big, like, fuck you to all the work I've kind of, you know, been putting in. And although
definitely,
I did perform well, it was just not at all what I hoped for myself and what my work for that year should have, you know, shown up. But I suppose the next major championships is the World Championships this year, and they're in Dubai in November. So that's really unusual for athletics to have anything outside of the summer months. Like, it's really, really late. I suppose everyone was like, fuck, it's really late, like, how am I supposed to train for that? But for me, like,
it's
the best possible
yeah.
outcome, you know, like, with, I obviously had the surgery in January, and so I'm hoping to be running by the end of this month, and then working my way back in. So if it had been a case that they were in June or July, like, they'd just
probably
been written off.
Doable.
And for me, like, that's, you know, when you think about it, like, oh, it's won championships, but, like, that's my fund and that's everything. Like, I need to perform well at, you know, this year in order to have myself set up nicely for next year, which is obviously the run into Tokyo, which I'd love to make. So I'm hoping to make Worlds this year and hoping it all goes well anyway.
So you were explaining to me earlier the the thing about having to get your times and a percentage of...
Yeah.
Do you want to re-explain that?
Yeah, so basically, well, there's kind of two sides of it, I suppose, in terms of, like, the Paralympics times, or, like, our team. So we have a really small team, they only take 10, and, like, it's one of the best performing teams, like, in the world, because they take such small numbers, and we get such high medal return. I suppose with the likes of Jason Smith. Oh, yeah. But last year, we were the team that brought home, like, the most successful team, like, to compete all of last year. Like, we came home with 9 medals, I think, from Europeans, which was, like, huge. So, I suppose it's a really high-performing team, so, like, not anyone gets on that team, you know? Yeah. It's not, like, just because you can't see very well and you can run a bit quick, they're going to let you on the team. Like, it's serious stuff, so...
You're still high-level athletes. Like,
yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people, there can be that misconception that it's kind of, like, show up and take part, and, like, that's just not the case, like, at all. So with our times, obviously, because, like, I do sprints and, like, say the other girls on the teams do throws or do distance running, in order for it to, like, how do you pick a team? Like, how is it fair to pick who's going? Because obviously you can't equate my 100 time to someone's discus throw, you know? So what they would do is get your times, your best time run at a sanctioned event. So that's an event where there's, like, drug testing available, and they will put that into the third fastest time in the world and give you a percent, and then they'll take the top percents. To be honest, they don't take anyone who's, like, below 90, you know, it's, like, 90, 95 upwards. And then I suppose that kind of criteria, again, applies when it comes to your funding and stuff. So in terms of where you're ranked in the world and what your potential is to go past that and what you've achieved and stuff like that. And you have to set out goals for your year in order to be funded and kind of keep on top of those goals. As I was saying to you, you're paid quarterly. So, you know, it's not, like, I suppose with an injury, like, it's a huge worry. To make sure that you're staying on top.
There's no real safety net to it at all.
No. I mean, like, obviously there is, like, they do know, like, if an athlete's injured and an athlete's doing the right work to get back, obviously they're not going to hang you out to dry. Mm. But, you know, it's a matter of keeping everyone happy, you know. It's like, if an injury goes on for longer than, you know, a season or two, like, that's when you're looking at your
family. Are they going to get back?
Yeah.
Are we going to just waste the money?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
So then you were saying about the drug tests, and then, so you're subject to drug tests at any time?
Any time. They could show up here, like, let's hope they don't.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
They're testing you too. No, I have to find my whereabouts. So basically, I have to give them a general idea of where I am all the time. And then
so
I have to give them...
like, live location on the whole time?
Yeah,
like,
basically. Yeah. It's, I have to have one designated hour in the day. So, like, I make that 5 to 6 in the morning. Because there's no chance I, like, won't be at home. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like...
What, so they can just show up at 5 o'clock in the morning to your house?
Yeah. So the rules are, like, usually they'll come, obviously, at a more reasonable time.
Yeah.
But if I'm not at home, that's not a black mark on me. That's just, they couldn't get me.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you know, if I said I was in college, but, like, I'd gone out to meet a friend or something, and I wasn't at home, they, like, that's not my fault.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I can only tell them where I am within a certain amount of reason.
Yeah.
But that designated hour... If they show up and I'm not there, it's a failed drug test. So you're looking at a 1 to 2 year ban. Like, it's huge.
That's massive.
Yeah, so that's, like, you know, as much as it seems nonchalant, they can show up, and if you're not there, you know, like, it's huge. Like, if I miss that, and I suppose, like, you hear all these scandals in the news about, like, Mo Farah missing a drug test because he was out at the cinema with his granny and stuff. And, like, I'm like, look, if that's during the day, grand. Like, if that's your designated hour, like, you just... don't miss it, like, you know, you don't make those mistakes, because it, you know, it could be your career on the line for, like, not even doping, like, you know. It's so it's the golden hour.
And then, like, I know you probably wouldn't know, but would you say that there is a big amount of doping in your...
I mean, like, you can't deny the fact that, like, athletics is a sport that it's, like, we're known for it, you know. And it's an unfortunate reputation, but, like, obviously, like, the past has shown that, like, now, like, drug testing has become a lot more, I suppose, strict. In Ireland, like, we have a great system. So, like, I know that everyone I run against in Ireland is at the same standard as I am. But, like, obviously there's countries where, like, you might not be drug tested ever. Like, they might tell you they're coming, you know? So it's hard to know. But I suppose you just have to have faith that, like, when you go to these world championships or these big events, like, there's drug testing at them, and every country that's accredited and can compete has to kind of live up to a certain standard of anti-doping in their own countries. I mean, I like to think that, like, the girls I'm running against aren't doping. Like, it just, yeah. I think you'd go insane if you were thinking that, because then there's no way to possibly beat them, you know? So yeah. It's like, and as well, like, I suppose there's, like, so much controversy about big athletes and stuff, and I'm like, oh, look, I'd rather be optimistic, hope people aren't,
yeah.
and hope not to be proven wrong, I suppose, in it. But, you know.
And what would be the most common thing to use in...
Yeah, see, the big problem is that, like, what people would use in terms of doping isn't something that you'd catch in competition. So a lot of people, like, do you know what I mean? They're not doping during competition. It's during training. So it's something that helps you recover faster so that you can do more, recover faster, do more. So that you're able for more, basically, and that your muscles can build up. So that's testosterone, to be honest. Like, that's, you know... that's what it is. And so obviously if you have a country that's not testing people during their training, they can get away with that because they come to a big championships, it's no longer in their system, they've used it, they've
yeah.
you know, they've got the benefit of it and it's not there anymore. So, you know, yeah,
doping is bad.
Don't do it, kids.
You have to point to your camera and say, you go,
don't do
bad.
It.
Yeah. So we've done your commitment to it, how you got there. What's the plan? You know, like, how long do you think you can run for? Like, I know it probably will depend on your eyes.
Only 100 meters, that's how long.
Only 100 meters.
No, I think it's definitely something I'm looking at career wise. Like,
yeah.
it's not something I do besides, like, I go to college to have something else to do,
yeah.
as opposed to the other way around, and I know that's, you know, the case for a lot of people. And I suppose, like, I really enjoy my sport, but I take it very seriously.
Yeah.
And, like, I would really love for it to be what I do full time. So, like, I'm taking the year out of college next year to really focus on trying to make the team for Tokyo. I think it's, I mean, obviously it's always too early to say and to hang medals around anyone's neck. Like, obviously everyone goes to a championship hoping that's going to happen.
Mm.
But there's no way really to have a realistic goal in that until you know how you're running that season, how things are going. But my goal would definitely be to make, you know, all of the major championships and just keep climbing my way up the, I suppose, the world rankings
just
and that.
Be a badass bitch, really.
Just.
Cheers.
Don't know. But, yeah, I suppose after college, I'd hope to go full-time with it. And then there's, I mean, I'll see how I'm going here and maybe look at heading to the States or the UK in terms of training. And, you know, I really want to give it everything. Like, I would really hate, you know, when I'm older to look back and think, like, I had the opportunity of a lifetime and I pissed it away. And, you know, like, I didn't give it everything. I think, like, this is something that is so, it's so fleeting. Like, you know, I mean, I feel like we all think our 20s go on forever. And, like, in some ways they do. But, like, in other ways, like, you know, once I'm hitting 30, you know, that's it. You know, your body's not really at its peak. And I suppose for female sprinters, your mid-20s tends to be your best years in it. So, I mean, obviously there's exceptions to that rule. Like, you do have people who are 31, 32. But for me, it's about giving it everything now so I don't regret it later, you know.
And can I ask you then, just to your training, how often, like, I know your ankle is the way it is now, but...
Ordinary.
When you're fully fit,
yeah.
are you doing, like...
I would do 4 track sessions a week, and then usually 3 gym sessions. So I double up on one day, usually. So I take a Saturday off, so I'd usually double up on, say, a Friday or a Sunday. That way, it's either side of my rest day. We do 3 sessions up in Santry in
Morton Stadium.
Morton Stadium.
Yeah.
Yes, it's my hometown. Haven't been there in years, though, now, it feels like.
We used to do our testing up there.
Oh, yeah, of course, you always get there's loads of rugby lads up there,
yeah.
actually. And then I'd also train, we do an Anne's Park Sunday is a hill session, so
nice.
It's always grim, cold,
oh,
and
Sunday.
Yeah, you can get
on
away.
The Sabbath,
like. I know, yeah. You get away with cheeky coffee after it, though, you know, it's nice. And I suppose for me, like, there's been years with training, like, I've had really small groups or like groups of people who are a lot older than me and me, and then I suppose now at the moment I have a group in training that they're my tribe, you know.
Yeah.
And I suppose that makes
your world pack.
They literally are. I know, it's such a game changer when it comes to training, because when you're doing this stuff like day in day out and you have people or like, you know, someone who's like has the same objectives and thinks the same way and is willing to put the same amount of work in, that makes all the difference. And like, just, yeah, shout out to them, because they're great. It's really nice to have a group, and I suppose obviously an individual sport is so different to a team sport, and I suppose you always have that kind of team around you and everything, but it can kind of feel like in an individual sport that like everyone's against you almost, you know. When you're by yourself, like, you have, you know, a coach for this, a coach for that, a nutritionist for this, a team manager, you know, there's a lot of people talking at you. So it's nice to have a bit of crack there in a group anyway.
Yeah. And then I presume you'd be one of the youngest in your little...
No, yeah, I'd be one of the elders. So it'd be when I moved into my group, I was like, it was like me and like three or four, like, older, like they were like in their mid 20s, yeah, and I was like 16.
Nice.
So I was really like, I really always
pointed up.
Yeah, I was really like, oh, I had no friends. It was so sad. but I suppose, there's been at the moment now, there's like a few newer people coming into the group, kind of younger girls who were like trying to make that move from that juvenile up to like taking it a bit more seriously. So it's interesting to see how they go, because I mean, you can't improve unless you're pushing yourself against people who are quicker than you. I suppose for me, I love having, like, I train with a lot of lads, so like it's great to have them, because like I'm always chasing them down, which is a nice thing to have. Yeah. Like it's shit if you're training and like you're winning every round, or you're, you know, you don't have someone to mark yourself on. Yeah, you do. You need, and as well, like, even if you're doing something like 200s at 70%, like, it's nice to have someone to mark your 70% off, and, like,
yeah,
you know, so as you go through your reps, that you should be able to match that. And so I think when you're doing it alone, it's very hard to do. So when you have someone with you, it's nice to have like markers and also have a bit of crack.
Fair. Yeah. I'd say running, like, I know there's running technique and stuff like that, but overall, like, do you not find that running can be a little bit boring?
No, I love it. I'm not like, I'd never ever go out for a jog. I'm not that person. Like, if someone
you're
was like
preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, like what? I think that's mind-numbingly boring. I couldn't do it. I just love running because, like, I know it sounds so stupid, but there's this feeling you get when you do speed work. I suppose like we work off of a complete, like, you know, fast twitch muscle and stuff. So when you go that fast and you finish, like, you just feel like you're tingling, like there's something there, and it's just such an incredible feeling. I suppose like loads of people think like, oh, you sprint, like that's the same as, you know, gym job, or, you know, like anyone just running as quick as they can. But it's not. Like, if you're doing sprints and you're in athletics, there's so much more to running than just trying your fastest, you know. Like, there's a huge amount of technique in it, and there's a huge amount that can be broken down and analyzed from it, you know. So I suppose I don't find it boring, because I enjoy it. Like, no one, I mean, there's plenty of people out there who'd find it boring. Like,
everyone has their thing, I suppose.
Yeah, I find rugby boring, but like that's because I like it's not my thing.
Fair.
You know, whereas, but it's the same. Like, I could sit down and watch like 6 hours of athletics on the TV. I just love it, and I think it's incredible to see what people can do. But like, I'd like to. Oh, this is controversial, but I'd struggle to sit through a rugby match.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your second favorite athletic event other than?
Hurdles, completely.
Yeah.
I used to do hurdles when I was younger.
How high are the hurdles?
For women, they're 2'6", and for men, they are 3'6". Sorry, 2'9" for women. So like here, and then 3'3".
I definitely couldn't clear that.
They are not. So like that's the difference in the hurdles.
How far away are they from each other?
They're 12 meters, I think. So the men's for the outdoors is 110 hurdles. So they have the same number of hurdles, but obviously spaced a little further apart. But like, you know, there's the controversy on it in that the women's one is a lot like lower, but their speeds are phenomenal.
Oh really?
Do you know, like, it's like they could almost be running like a 100. They're running so quick. Oh, we have a guest.
It's my dog.
Yeah, but whereas the men's, because they're reaching these mad heights, their speeds proportionately are slower, because it's like a massacre watching it. Yeah. They just hit them all. It's nuts, but it's a fun event to watch, I suppose.
Running seems fucking, it seems like you're gonna go somewhere. That's why I have to have you on now before you go and forget about me.
I meant forget about you, John.
So what gag and life hack, and then we're gonna do some trivia. So you wanna give me your gag first?
Okay, so these gags are courtesy of a taxi man who took us home one night, who spewed like a whole series of zoo related gags. So which one am I going to use? Why do you never see elephants hiding in trees?
I don't know.
Because they're so good at it.
A nice reload.
Yeah.
All right. I want another one of these taxi drivers.
Then another one was, he said, how do you fit an elephant in the fridge?
Chop it up.
No, you open the door, take everything out and put him in. And we were like, that's terrible. And then he was like, how do you fit a lion in the fridge? And we were like, you know, just open the door and put him in. No, you first have to take out the elephant.
Nice.
Good man.
Nice. Right. What kind of chocolate is sold at the airport?
I don't know.
Plain chocolate.
That's bad.
That is bad. That is bad. Yeah, I know. Okay, and your life hack?
I don't have any life hacks, really. But as I was saying to you earlier, rice noodles straight to wok are a game changer. Because it's just, you know, when you come in, you throw the veg and your chicken in. Instead of waiting for your noodles to cook, you just whack them straight into the wok. I know it's not obviously something you want to be doing too often, but...
You're going to have to run a lot to run all them noodles off.
I know, yeah. Well, look, that's why I do it. Eating
them on, that's so fair.
Yeah.
My life hack this week is going to be... It's actually simple enough, and it's actually inspired by you in that. You need, when life gives you shit, you know, you need to fucking play around with that and make something of it. I think it's very easy. It would have been very easy for you to fucking be very unhappy... with your eyes and let that hold you back, but instead you fucking use it to
excel yourself forward. The glass half full kind of mentality.
100%. So my life hack this week is glass half full.
Be positive,
be,
kids.
Be positive. Stay in school. Don't do drugs. Yeah. So that's it. I just I've been thinking about it for a while. And when I said I was gonna have you on, I was like, that's fucking like I know. You know when you see those people with no legs and stuff and they're just unreal in the gym, like, and just, it's very inspirational, but,
I think as well with Paralympic sport, that's something, like, I hadn't clicked into in the past, and it's something that, like, I see, and, like, I'm like, Jesus, like, people are amazing. People can do such phenomenal stuff when, like, you know, they're faced with adversities, and, like, it's really, it's just so impressive and so cool, like, I have so much admiration for people like that, and, like, I always, like, I think, hand to God, the Blade Runners are the coolest people in the world. Like, I just think it's the best thing ever. Yeah. Like, you know, so definitely.
I'm just gonna get your trivia now.
I'm very nervous for this trivia.
You're right to be, because you know,
big stakes.
They're huge things. I say you're the first female attemptee. So
don't want to let down.
No, yeah, you can't let down the females of the world. Okay, so 10 questions, see how many get right. High score is 10 at the minute, so...
High score is not 10.
It's not 10. Wow.
It's 5.
It's 5.
Tom is not that good.
Yeah, Tom is not that good. I'm just losing my train of thought. Sorry. There's 10 questions.
Yeah.
High score is 5. Let's go.
Okay. Right.
So, the beaver is the national emblem of what country?
Alaska?
Canada.
Fuck, I was going to say Canada and I thought it would be a moose or something instead.
Fair.
That was a rookie mistake.
That was a rookie mistake. I didn't know that though, so I can't count it. Yeah. The average human body contains how many pints of blood?
300?
Pints.
Oh, pints. Oh, that was really stupid. 24?
9.
I will have overestimated our amount of blood by a lot.
Someone said, I asked someone that yesterday and they were like saying 50 and 52, so everyone's wrong.
We just ignored the 300. That was really stupid.
Yeah. We would just keep the 24. Yeah, that's closer.
24.
Yeah, 24 is the...
The incorrect answer.
I'm still at zero.
Yeah.
Okay. The Pyrenees mountain range separates which two European countries?
Oh, I feel like I should really know that. I don't know.
I think a mountain range is in Europe.
Oh, the Alps. I don't know. Can you give me one of the countries?
See, I can't really, because
then it's just a giveaway.
I feel like you'll just know what's beside that country.
What about I'm gonna say like Germany and somewhere.
Austria. France and Spain.
That was rookie.
Great. Speaking of German, how many letters are there in the German alphabet? there's 26 in the English.
Yeah, but like, you know, when they have like letters, so like, you know the way we, like in Irish you'd have like, oh, father.
Father, yeah.
Or like they have like, obviously those different, do they count as letters or are they just, okay.
I don't know, I just have a number here.
32.
You're close, 30, but you're not right.
Oh.
sorry. All right, so four questions down and still on a big flat zero. Okay.
No, but I could get the next six right.
You could get the next six right and still win. Won't. Okay. What is the largest two-digit prime number?
Two-digit prime number.
What is the largest?
88?
No. It's an even number. It's not.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll give you another shot at it, because it is quite... If you think about it, start from the top and work down with two-digit numbers, and that's probably an easier way to do it.
I don't know. Oh, this is really bad. Maths was never my thing.
Just completely showing you up. Like,
yeah, like...
I'm sorry.
Oh, stressing. Ordinary maths. 90...
98? 97.
That was upsetting.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Don't ever tell my parents. They'll cry.
What is the largest island in the Mediterranean Sea?
The largest island... Gran Canaria?
Sicily.
That was an obvious one. And I didn't get it. Oh my god, I'm going to get no points.
Oh, you should beat Will. Well, hopefully you beat Will.
Oh, that's all I'm here to do.
It's like, I came on to make sure I could beat Will. Okay. What colour are airplane black boxes?
White? I feel like this is a trick question. Silver?
No.
Black?
No.
I don't know.
Bright orange?
Oh.
Because they need that to be seen
sense.
In the
they
water.
That makes sense, they need to be seen. Oh. Yeah. That's my dad's a pilot. He's going to be really upset I didn't get that.
Yeah, he is going to be upset.
Yeah.
Higher orders that if you're listening.
Definitely not.
Which element begins with the letter K?
Which element? Wait, do you mean like its symbol is
no,
K?
No, like its name begins with K.
Oh, because like...
If you're a Superman...
symbol K is potassium.
Yeah, yeah.
If
you're a Superman fan, you might know this.
Kryptonite?
Yeah, Krypton.
Krypton, same thing.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Okay. We're struggling here, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get you on the board. Okay, what is the diameter of the Earth? I'll give it to you to the nearest. I'll give it to you to the nearest 1,000 kilometers. No, nearest 100 kilometers.
Okay, diameter.
Yeah. So, like, from here to the middle and then all the way at the other side.
Don't even know where to begin to think of that. I'm really going to show myself up here. Are you talking, is it like in the thousands or the hundreds of thousands?
It's in the thousands.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but then I was like, maybe that's really
not
a lot. Okay, I'm going to go 3,540.
No, you're a bit off. So I'll give you one last stab at it.
8,000.
You're getting closer.
999.
No, 12,742. You've got one. So
I don't know anyone who'd get that.
So hang on. Right. So
you've
won now. Right. So you're on the board. But this next question is a running question. So you should be able to get this.
Shit.
So
I didn't study. I should have studied up. Yeah.
Who held the 100 meter record before Usain Bolt?
This is embarrassing now. See, there were records that were then discounted.
See, you're gonna show me up here. I'm just going off like.
So who had it before him? This is really embarrassing. I don't know because I know it's really bad. I don't know what times are actually legal anymore. Like, what count of the records and what were discounted.
I can give you this person's time.
No, that won't help.
No.
Okay. Michael Johnson.
No. I'll give you one more guess. What's going on? I'll pronounce his name wrong.
There's a few other big names, but they're all... Oh, Asaf Appel?
Boom.
Yeah!
She got two.
I actually saw him running. Well, he was supposed to run down in Athlone
big
meet 2 years ago. I was like buzzing to see him. Pulled out.
Bottled it.
I'm so upset. I only left.
Not a deal. So two. So I think there's like four people who've got two. So technically,
okay, so that's like the average.
You know, it's not bad.
Yeah.
You're just not excelling, you know.
Yeah.
Stick to running. No more trivia quizzes. Stick to running. Well, Orla, it's been an absolute fucking pleasure to have you on today. For anyone out there who is looking for inspiration, have you anything to leave them on?
I just say stick at it. You know, it's easy to. I don't know, it's harder to quit than to stick at it. You know. I think as well, especially with injury and stuff of late, like there's been moments and there's been times where I've, you know, kind of come to the realization that, you know, the innate love that I have for a sport isn't out there, you know, for everyone else. And I think I really realized that, you know, exercising really helps with just everything mentally. Like, you know, like you're definitely it's nice to get out. Like, obviously, like not saying everyone to go out and run 100 metres, but you know, like do something.
Everyone
100
metres right now.
Big race in sports. I definitely say stick at it, whatever you're doing, like, you know, it's good for you. Whether that's just for the crack, to see people, you know, to be connected or at a higher level.
Well, thank you very much, Orla. It's been a pleasure to have you. For everyone listening, thank you. Just a shout out to Kevin Hughes. He's the man behind the lens, absolute smashing dude. And all this high def. Kev.
Gorge.
Anyway, it's been great. So that's it for us at the Inside Trail.
Ba-da-ba-ba. Nice.